Hello.
Welcome, everyone. We are your Shuffleologists, back for another week, another fabulous round of songs in our playlist of our Shuffleology choices.
Yes, and we'd like to welcome back Josh DeVito, who was away on assignment last week.
And by assignment, we mean he was disorganized and forgot that we had to record something and booked a very important engagement that same night. Sorry, everyone. You know, I missed you all, though.
Yes, we missed you too.
But shout out to Zane. Thanks for holding the fort for us, mate. So cool. He does well, doesn't he? He does well speaking on the fly.
He does.
Yes, really, it's just like, I'm uncomfortable. I'm going to do it anyway. Mm. I admire that tenacity, to be quite honest. Mm-hmm, but no, it feels good. It feels good to be back in my chair. Air cons on. Like, it's a good night.
Yay. It's a good night. Wonderful. We're cooled and we're ready to bring you songs from across the pond. That's right, people. We're talking about New Zealand.
Yeah.
That fabulous teeny little country.
It is a country because there are some people who believe that it's part of Australia.
It's not.
Well, there's people. Okay.
Do you mean
Americans?
Yes,
I do.
But they are our neighbours.
They are our neighbours.
And they are a COVID-free country.
Are they?
I'm pretty sure.
They have a little resurgence.
They did.
Oh, like it was so minuscule.
But she was straight onto it.
Look, we stand Jacinda Ardern in our household, personally. Yes. She's a great political leader.
I think Australia needs a din mother like her. Right now, we've got an accountant dad.
Yes.
An absentee father.
Yeah. But I also love that she just like gets on Facebook and does a live chat or Instagram. Right? Like, talk to the people.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Talk to the people. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she's so good. Was that your New Zealand?
I wasn't sure what you were doing.
Talk to the people.
Yeah, there's there is multiple dialects involved. Because there's white New Zealand, and then there's like, hey bro, how you doing? Oh, this is I'm beached, bro. Yeah. Which is do you like that accent?
It's pretty good.
Yeah, thank you. I do have many distant cousins from from New Zealand who are Maori. But back to Grace.
I mean, I've never actually been to New Zealand.
I know. Oh my God, I've been like so many times.
Have you?
I have.
Well, I predict it's going to be our next bubble. Huge connection to it. Yeah, I've been wanting to go for a while. And nearly everyone I know has gone. I've met much family from there, uncles and aunties and lots of friends. And yeah, I feel like I'm very connected to the place that I've never been.
I want to go in the winter. That's when I want to go.
It's cold. Yeah. I went in the spring and it was really cold, but it's gorgeous. The South Island, I think, is probably my favorite location.
Yeah, my mum and stepdad just went on their honeymoon there, just 7 years ago.
But besides it being a great tourist destination, it's also known for some great music as well.
Some great music. Thank you. Getting us back on track, George DeVetta.
Thank you.
And everyone's gone to this dialect now. It's going to be the whole episode.
Don't know what you're talking about, mate. I was so Australian. I can't do a Kiwi.
Well, stay tuned, everyone. We'll be back next with Asabi's choices.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Am I meant to interview her? Are you interviewing? No, I think I have to interview her.
No.
No, I interview you.
You're sorry. Revealing the secrets of the show.
Sorry, guys. Sorry. Yeah.
One week and
I'm all in a shambles, just like my life. All right. Sorry. I'll shut up now.
Asabi.
Yes, lovely.
Tell me, what songs have you discovered?
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I don't really know a lot of New Zealand artists. I know a few, and then there was one, like one of the ones that I wanted to know was taken by somebody else. I will not mention his name.
It was definitely me.
So I also wanted to include a song that sort of represented the Maori culture of New Zealand as well. And not being from New Zealand, not being in Australia long enough to know much about New Zealand, that was a little bit of a struggle. But I was able to find one, and I'm going to talk about the song that led me to find this cultural tune. So the first song that I'm going to talk about on my list is Don't Dream It's Over by Crowded House.
Oh, yes. Oh, shout out to Liam Madden.
Hi, Liam Madden.
This dialect's not going to stop, by the way.
Yeah, I can't really tell. It sounds too. Anyway, so this song, Don't Dream It's Over. It was a huge hit. So we got it in America as well. It was huge. It's a big song. It was off of their 1986 debut album of the same name, Crowded House.
Yes.
And to me, the song is about, and to them as well, they have said this, that the song is about hope and about not giving up. And I love the song because I feel, you know, like there's this little guitar riff that don't dink don't dink don't dink don't don't, which I just feel is so smooth and soothing. It, like, the whole song is just really comfortable, and then you've got this underlying bass line that's really nice. It's like a warm blanket just sort of enveloping you. And then Neil's vocals are just great in that
song.
There
is freedom within.
Exactly. There is freedom without. I don't remember the words.
Summertime.
Trying to catch the delusion of paper.
Oh, exactly. See, this is why we have white people on the podcast, because they know that song.
You know what's sad? I've performed
every fucking word.
I used to, there you go. I performed this song for years with my covers band. We haven't performed it in a very long time, but it was one of the first songs. Yeah, it was one of the first songs that we learned as a covers band. Now, it was written by Neil Finn, and it went to number 2 on the Billboard Hot 100 in America. It was only stopped by Aretha Franklin and George Michael's "I Knew You Were Waiting."
Oh, I love that song.
When the mountain was high, I didn't falter. So I know the words of that. And APRA ranked it number 2 in New Zealand and number 7 on Australia's best songs of all time.
Shout out to APRA.
It is. It's a huge tune. It's a very huge tune. And now there's a New Zealand artist by the name of Stan Walker who performs the song in Māori.
Stunning.
Yeah, he started, I believe in 2014, he started performing it in Māori, and now in all of his concerts around the world, wherever he goes, he performs this song in Māori. And I was looking for a recorded version of it, but I don't think he's ever recorded it. I think it's just
live YouTube videos. Yeah. Okay.
And that's all he does. He just performs it live, so he's never actually recorded the song.
He's got a beautiful voice.
He does.
Absolutely stunning. The last Australian Idol winner.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in 2009, and then we didn't have Idol after that.
Well, he shut it down, didn't he?
I think the ratings also had something to do with it as well, yes.
I don't know. I didn't watch it. So that brings me to my second. So doing the research on Don't Dream It's Over and finding Stan Walker led me to a Stan Walker song. And forgive me if I say this wrong. Aotearoa?
Yes.
Is that how
I mean, I don't know.
It means, doesn't it mean love or hello or family or something like that?
I thought it was a city.
Aotearoa.
It's the New Zealand greeting.
Yeah, Aotearoa, that's what you say. That's what I thought it was. Yeah, I was like, that British say hello.
Yeah, so in 2014, he released this single called Aotearoa. And it features him and Rhea Hall and Troy Kingi and Maisie Rika. So it's a song that was inspired by the 1984 song Poie, which is the only Maori song to ever reach number 1 on the New Zealand charts.
That's insane.
Yeah, it's amazing. And
wow,
it was
crazy.
Yes, and it was written and released in celebration of Maori Language Week, which takes place down in New Zealand. And the goal was to release another song that could potentially get to number 1 on the New Zealand charts. And this song only made it to number 2 in New Zealand. You didn't do
what
you
blocked
need to
it?
Do. I don't know.
It was Lord Royals for sure.
I don't know. I didn't check. I don't remember what blocked it. I cannot remember.
That's all good. It's all
that's
good.
Fine.
Not
anyway,
important. Not
yeah,
important.
It's fine.
Anyway, so the song was released just as a single in 2014, and then Stan created an EP in 2019 and put the song on the EP.
A lot of distance between albums.
Yeah.
Anyway, keep going.
So maybe he was. You know, he was like, oh, I need 5 songs.
Yeah.
I wrote 4. Here's one. Because it had never been released on an album. So
right.
It was only released
as
a single. Yeah. And so I love this song because to me it is quintessential island song with, you know, the harmonious voices and the blending. It's so beautiful. It's got elements of reggae and ska. And it's just, I just thought it was a really beautiful song, even though I didn't know what it was saying. And the version that he released in 2019 is an English language version.
Right.
As well.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So he did change it up a little bit. So that's my second song. My third song is called Wandering Eye by Fat Freddy's Drop.
Oh, yeah. What did you call me?
Right? So now this was the first single that they released off of their debut album based on a true story in 2005. And it's really one of the things that I recognize about New Zealand's music is that it does have that sort of laid back island vibe. So everything is it's upbeat, but it's not like you know, like really hard sort of rock, or it's just a really kind of relaxed sound. Like it's, you know, this song it's very reggae. It's got this staccato soothing sort of drum beat that goes through it, and the horns are not like blaring at you, but they're just really soft and kind of held back. So it's a blend of trumpet, sax, and trombone, and then it almost has a bit of a jazzy feel to it as well. There's flute that's playing little accents throughout it, and you know how I love a flute. So it's just really beautiful, and this, you know, it's got these soulful backing vocals that come in over the top, and they're all the band is singing in unison, and I love it when a band does that because it's just a beautiful blend of voices. And then of course my favorite thing, it's got hand claps and a synthesizer, so so it's all good. So this was their, like I said, their first single. It reached number 6 on the New Zealand charts, so that's where it peaked, but it stayed on the charts for 17 weeks. Oh. And it did acquire gold status in 2010. So it took it 5 years, but it eventually reached gold status.
I'd still hang that plaque on my wall.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you should definitely show it off. All right, my next song, see if I can get this working, is a song that I've performed a lot, and I love this song. I think it's probably one of the standard songs that cover bands do. April Sun in Cuba by Dragon. That's right. I love that song. It's just a fun song.
It's so feel good.
Yeah, it's feel good. It's freeing.
It goes well with vodka. Yeah. I will tell you right
I would
now.
Say so many drinks of choice. Yeah. You fit. Yes.
If it's lychee flavored, I'm there.
It, yeah.
Yes. It's definitely one of those tunes that you leave towards the end of the night when everybody has, you know, they're well liquored, inebriated yeah. and yeah. Yeah, liquored up.
Yeah, when they can throw their heads back.
Yeah, yeah. And they sing. They yeah. sing at the top of their lungs, and people, it never gets old. It never gets old. Yeah. People just love it, and it yeah. just, it's just one of those songs that makes you feel good. Excuse me. So now, this was off of their fourth studio album. It was released in 1977, so before you guys were around. It was off the album Running Free, and it reached number 9 on the New Zealand singles. And so back in the day, we had these in Australia, they had the Kent Music Report, which became the Australian Music Report in 1987 and ran until 1999 and was eventually replaced by the Arias, who started their chart in 1988.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it was number 2 on, and Kent was a guy in Australia. It was a music enthusiast who just ran his own chart of top 50 tunes, and that's what everybody looked at. Yeah, it was good. yeah.
Some guy.
Some guy, Kent. Yep. So yeah, so that's April Sun in Cuba, and I love that song. It's just a great song. And now my final track, because I mean, I don't know that you can talk about New Zealand music without this woman, Kimbra.
Hey, yeah. Well, give her a clap. Hi. Give her a clap, Tom. I have a feeling she'll be mentioned quite often in this podcast tonight. Yeah.
Now, I'm not a huge fan of Kimbra, and
I was flopping Asabi, not Kimbra. Yeah.
But I wanted her on this because I know how big she is and how influential she is, and I, you know, I was listening to some of her tracks and I was like, and then I came across this one called Old Flame, which is off her Vows album,
yes, it
2011,
is, yes.
And it was never released as a single, no. So I think only 3 songs off of that album were released, but I really liked this. So it's got this 4 chord progression in the middle that starts, and then it becomes layered as the song progresses, and it's really soft, you know, it's just a soft layering, but it builds in intensity as her vocals build in intensity. So Kimbra is known for having this sort of soprano-y, airy, kind of breathy, ethereal sound in her voice.
It is ethereal, yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And
how are you guys saying that word?
Ethereal should be. Oh, I say it should be ethereal, right?
No, I say ethereal. Thank you.
Is that? I've never had it said like that before.
Really? I've said it that way my entire life. And I'm older, so there.
And older.
Okay.
And
it's definitely ethereal. Anyway. Get Denny. Man, I was wondering, I was like, is it one of those American things where you say aluminum and you just ignore the
well,
extra
no,
I, you know
but
what I mean?
There, like, aluminum is spelled two different ways, though. So okay. There is an aluminium and then there's aluminum. So it is spelled two different. That, I've researched the history of that. But anyway. So in the beginning of the song, Kimbra's voice is kind of, it's smooth and sexy, and it is kind of sung in a little bit lower register. And then as she's, it's almost like a climax, like as she's getting into the chorus, it just rises into that light, airy, ethereal.
She's quick.
Sound. And it's just, it's a beautiful transition. And then just as you start the second verse, you've got these like syncopated drum beats that come in, and I love syncopated drum. And it just like, it just carries out throughout the rest of the song. And it's just so beautiful. It's lovely. Like you can tell it's been multi-tracked, and it's just gorgeous the way all of the different layers of voices come in. It's like a beautiful cacophony of sound.
Oh, lovely. It is. It's cacophony.
It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Have you seen, there's, she had, man, I can't remember the artist's name, but one of her, a portrait of her was made for the Archibald Prize.
Oh, okay.
A couple of years ago. And someone made kind of a video clip to that song using that. The painting's really beautiful. She's like in a red dress from like a dodgy hotel room bed or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really beautiful. It's sort I'll of like the way the painting's painted, like the kind of swishing movement of the brush looks, suits the song. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It is. It's a beautiful song. So I definitely want to check.
It's a beautiful description as well. Thanks, Grace.
Thank you. And so because this song was never technically released as a single, it didn't chart.
Yeah.
But it's still a beautiful song, and I think she should go back and release it.
Yeah. Just beautiful. Thank you, Asabi.
No worries.
Oh, those for those offerings, New Zealand offerings.
Yes.
And lovely to hear some Moldy in there. I'm looking forward to listening to that.
Yeah, it is a beautiful song. I can't say it. Aeteora.
I'm pretty sure it's Aeteora. But you got like, but
Aeteora.
Yeah.
I apologize to New Zealand.
We'll have to get a resident New Zealand helper and in the wings. And maybe does anyone have a quick text that we can ask?
I should. I know. Can you spell phrenetically how to say it? Yeah.
Send a voice to us.
All right. Yeah. I'll get on top of that.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Well, stay tuned, everyone. We'll be back soon.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Josh DeBette.
And we're back. And today we are talking about songs from across the pond from our brothers and sisters in New Zealand. And we just heard My Choices, Asabi. And now we are going to ask the lovely Josh DeVita what his choices are.
Hi. Yay. Hello. All right. Well, I had one way I was going to talk about it. Now I'm going to change it up. So... because we've already mentioned Kimbra, so I don't want to like, it's not an exciting moment to talk about it now. So anyway.
I'm always excited to hear about Kimbra.
Yes, yes, I know. Well, I'm going to talk about the Vows album as well, because I bloody loved that album when it came out. It was a huge album when I was in university as well.
Right.
When Settle Down dropped, the first time I ever heard it was not the single. My lecturer had played a video on the wall of her in some random festival at the Spotify festival in LA.
Yeah, okay.
Doing when she does it with loops. We've talked about this before, I think briefly, how I watched her do it and it stuffed up on the night,
yes,
sort of thing.
Yes.
But anyway, this song is Settled Down, written by Kimbra and Francois Tétaz. I think that's the one.
Yeah, I think he wrote a lot of the songs with her on that album.
And I love that it starts off boom, 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 boom. Oh no, that's the loop version. The album one is like a fade in of like meow meow. It's like all these different sounds. She wrote the song when she was 16, by the way, and then it went through quite a few developments, sort of thing. And then when she finally worked with this particular production team, this is the version that we know now. Anyway, so she's 16 and she's single. She's not 16. When she was 16, she's writing lyrics. I want to settle down. Settle down. I don't know why.
Yeah, right.
Settle down. This, like, tongue in cheek feel down.
And then she's like, I want to raise a child. And then you hear in the back, and I love that the background, it's because it's a very vocal based song too. So you hear the backgrounds like, because she has a very particular vibrato as well. Mm. It's like, and she has a very like bright timbre in her voice, in my opinion. Mm. Well, when she goes high, her timbre gets brighter naturally, you know, all that kind of stuff. We won't get too vocal nerdy here on this on this podcast. But I just remember being really drawn to the performance when I first saw her and go, oh, like, because back then, like, Josh DeVetta only listened to Mariah Carey.
Exactly.
Still, nothing has changed now, but
Do you know, I had a friend who, well, I met her after this period of her life, but when she said when she was, I think, 16, she discovered Mariah Carey, and she didn't listen to anything else for like 2 years because she felt she would be cheating on Mariah Carey.
Well, wow.
It's a huge, catalogue of music to get through as well, and I look forward it one season for us to so. Go through it. Well, she has...
How many albums has she?
I'll tell you. Mariah.
Hey,
Mariah. Mariah. No, she has, I'm pretty sure she has 16 albums now. I'm pretty sure. But yes. Anyway, so yeah.
Kimbra.
Yeah, back to Kimbra. Also, she had this really, I always loved her bangs and everything like that. But anyway, this song is really, really sick. Like, I listen to it now and still get excited by it. But YouTube, her live looping version of it, because it's really, really captivating, I have to say.
It's cool, isn't it?
And it was back when looping was kind of still cool. Right now, it's like
everyone does it now.
Yeah. And not that it's not impressive, like, but I find a lot of people don't do it well because once they've, it's this weird thing that I have, like, okay, you might have started half a semitone out in a background vocal and you're just committing to it anyway. Mm. But the nerd in me is just like, it's wrong. It's wrong.
Well, yeah. And I also think it's like back then, what was it? What year did Vows come out?
About 2011. Yep, 2011. Yeah. And this Spotify video, I'm pretty sure, was from like 2010, the one that I saw. Yeah. Yeah.
And wow. So, and it's sort of like now a looping station is so available to everyone, but it wasn't the same accessibility. It wasn't the same like renown that you could easily.
Well, you can loop everything just from your iPad. You don't even need to buy the hardware anymore because that's you can do it everything from an iPad or your phone.
So it's like anyone could do it without having to have much skill at it. Yeah.
Well, that's true. Well, Charlie Puth wrote an entire album basically like on his phone.
Yeah, right.
Wow.
And all that kind of stuff. Anyway, so yeah, so but we love Kimbra. We stan her in this household.
Yeah, Kimbra.
And in this podcast as well, actually, because Gracie is such a fan.
Yes.
All right. Well, now... this next song I want to talk about, it's very special to me. The artist is Brooke Fraser. And I grew up very Christian. So Brooke Fraser was like a huge megastar in the Christian world as well because she's very open about her faith and everything. Like, she was involved with Hillsong Church for a very long time as well. But this song is from her second album, Albertine, which I believe is like her renaissance album, like because it was the follow-up to What to Do with Daylight. Sorry, excuse me. Her writing is just like she writes like sonnets in my in my opinion. She writes about love, but I don't feel cringy when I listen to it. It's like,
it's not cheese.
It's like, this is stunning. So I chose Deciphering Me, which was like her lead single from that album at the time. It starts with acoustic guitar. She's like, friend, it's getting late. We should be going. And she filmed it in Tokyo, like the music video. And I love Japan.
It's a great place.
I'd film all my content in Japan if I could, just because of all those neon lights and all that kind of stuff and just amazing cityscape scenery, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It was released in 2006, / 2007, you know, because global releases back then were a lot longer. I remember, shout out to one of my dear friends that I've been friends with for nearly 20 years, Grace. We used to drive around in her Hyundai XL, or we used to call it the Hyundai Eggshell because it was that small. And no other album played for at least 3 or 4 months than this one. So she'd pick this back when I didn't have my license. She would pick me up and I'd come in and be like, friend, it's getting there, like all that kind of stuff. And I wasn't like a huge fan of her because I was, very, as I said, I was listening to Mariah Carey, Whitney Houston. So to me, great music was all the big divas,
yes,
sort of thing, or the R&B singers, all that kind of stuff. So it took me a while to warm up to the whole like, oh, people can be good and not riff down the house, like what's that, you know, sort of thing. Like I had this, so I actually like call Brooke Fraser almost like a touchstone for me, because it was like, it was my access point to this whole larger plethora of music and to appreciate more than just how it sounds, but like, these are stunning lyrics that are coming out of this person as well, which is, yeah. So deciphering me, Brooke Fraser, love it. Can't wait to listen to it on the playlist. Lots of memories attached to that. Also, and around the similar time, a artist from that from New Zealand came out called Lady Hawk. And she had quite a successful song here in Australia. It didn't like go like top 10, it was like top 20. And the song was called My Delirium. And back then, like, Lady Gaga was out as well, so some people get confused between Lady Hawk and Lady Gaga, all that kind of, and also her sound is very similar to LaRue. Remember LaRue?
Yeah.
This time, baby, I'll be. So that's what the song. Yeah, but yeah,
it's like a similar era. As well.
Similar era, yeah. So that late 2000s sort of thing, and yeah. But I remember this. I would, because I used to work at a Boost Juice. Back in the day, yes, I was a manager.
I'm still waiting for my recipes.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'll get on to that.
Yeah.
But I remember this song would come on the playlist back in the day. So we used to burn everything onto CDs, and then I finally got an iPod Classic, and it was all over after that. 160 gigabytes of memory, and I think that's why I'm still the playlist king now in my amongst my friendship circles, because I just loved like putting that all together and my iPod Classic had the clicky wheel.
Yes, I remember that.
The clicky wheel or the ASMR of that. It's like when the iPhone used to make a noise when you, or does it still make a noise when you plug it into charge?
Yes,
my phone's always on silent. So
yeah, same.
That's why I miss a lot of messages, I will say. But I just can't handle like my phone going ding, ding, all the time. Like, same. No, that's anxiety inducing. But yeah, Lady Hawk, I just thought this song was really, really cool. With the song, it actually sold 70,000 copies here in Australia, which is actually quite big. Because she kind of had that transition from like, went from like Triple J, and then like Oz Stereo picked it up and everything like that. And it got to number 9 in New Zealand. So it was like quite a big song in New Zealand. It just wasn't like it didn't have like that huge crossover like other Triple J artists get, I guess, in that way. But I remember listening to it at Boost Juice all the time going, oh, this is a cool song. Who sings this? Someone's like, it's Lady Hawk. I'm like, Lady Gaga? No, Lady Hawk. I'm like, okay. sort of thing. That's the dialogue that happens in my head. Now, shout out to all my friends from the mid-2000s because I'm about to give you some nostalgia right now. There was a really like huge rapper from New Zealand at the time, and his name was Scribe. And Scribe was, I don't know what, like, I can't tell you how he made it in Australia, but it, something happened and it worked. And he actually was getting huge in the festival rings, because Australia and New Zealand, we have really amazing festivals, and they actually put this song, so the song's called Dreaming, which was, so that he actually released this as a double A-side to, what song was it? It was, So Nice. That's the song. And it was just, and the song's just basically about him aspiring to be successful. That's the whole Dreaming.
Yeah.
So he's there saying like, you know, one day I'm going to make it in New York, one day I'm going to, you know, I'm going to, you know, leave all my shitty friends behind and make it
big.
There
you go.
Sort of thing. And yeah, and I always dug Scribe. I thought he was really cool. I was also really into hip hop and R&B and all that back in the day. And as I think I've said in the podcast before, but a lot of my friends weren't listening to that because I went to a Christian school. We had a lot of white people at the school. And so so when I was in high school, the biggest artists were all, was when the emo punk movement started. And so,
yes.
Can I ask, how did you access those sounds? Yeah, like if your friends aren't into it and your family maybe isn't encouraging it.
Yes. Well, that's an interesting question. Like, I used to listen to the radio under the covers at night.
Yeah,
that's one thing. So the Kyle and Jackie O Hot 30 countdown. Also, I had lots of great friends that would burn CDs for me and that kind of. I think like back then I was a pirater. And then when I discovered LimeWire for myself, then I didn't have to call upon my friends to educate me. I could have just educated myself basically. But I remember this song got a lot of radio play, especially in Brisbane, because I remember hearing it a lot. Like in like you walk past JJ's like clothing store and it would be playing, or Boost Juice, all that kind of stuff. Back when you didn't have to pay like a license to play music and all that kind of stuff. Times they have changed, and good, because the songwriter should get paid. Exactly. All that kind of stuff. So song Dreaming, really, really good. Huge song in New Zealand. That song Dreaming actually ended up being on a like New Zealand festival compilation album as well, which also helped the success of it, because he actually got huge like he did a performance, I think it was at the Pacifica Festival or something like that, and that kind of like set his trajectory, you know, and rise to his stardom sort of thing. And it's really, really like I dig him, but it's kind of sad that he's probably not like he's not doing the rounds anymore and things like that. But you know,
does he still make music?
I didn't research past this song, to be quite honest.
I haven't heard from him.
So if there are any Scribe fans out there, let us know.
Apologypodcast@gmail.com. When did this song come out? When did he release this?
2003, 2004. So it was quite a long time ago.
Well, not too long ago. It wasn't like
17 years, darling.
It's a long time.
Well, it wasn't 30 either.
No, it wasn't. That's right. That's cool. But yeah, so we love them. Really, really great.
I mean, anyway, you can't argue with that math, I suppose. Yeah.
I'd like to also point out that New Zealand has brought out some great female artists, I have to say.
Have they?
Yes. And you know me, I like to celebrate women and what they do in the music industry and everything like that. So my last choice, which is like the big knockout choice, I don't know if you've heard of an artist called Lorde.
Who?
Lorde.
And in the mid-2010s, she slayed the game with
really
a song
did.
Called Royals.
Yes.
Boom, boom. I sing it in gigs because it's in my key. Like I'd have to change the key. It's just like in the sweet spot, all that kind of stuff. If we're going to use the Asabi scale of singability, I give it a 10.
Yes.
Sort of thing. And people love this song. Hey, it's actually one of the most successful digital selling singles of all time so far.
Really?
10 million units.
Wow.
Won 2 Grammys. Like she kind of like was, it's similar to Billie Eilish where like we didn't really, is she New Zealand?
Billie Eilish.
Really? No.
No, she's American.
She's American?
Yeah.
Why did I think she was from New Zealand?
Kind of has that vibe.
I mean, they both started out that young.
That young. Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah. Well, anyway, Royals is all about your discontent with luxurious lifestyle people and how they waste their money and how you go, well, I'll never have that.
Yeah.
So and I love like I just think it's like a really well put together song. I love that it's vocal based, like, but it's just vocals at a beat.
Yes.
Basically. With a couple of synths here and there.
Yep.
Which is like a testament to like it really was her tone that was the and her voice that was like the star, you know, sort of thing. And the harmonies as well. Like, you know, and then I love when that third I'm thinking it's a third, when it comes on the gold teeth, Grey Goose tripping in the bathroom, love skates, ball gown, stretching the hotel room, we don't get all that.
Nice.
I remember performing that when I was in a band. That was like our main. We were known for that cover.
Oh, wow.
but we funked it up a little bit and like made it really, really just me.
Acapella groups turn that tune out.
Well, the music's, the blueprint's already there as well.
Yeah.
If you're going
to
do like an
acapella.
They don't have to do too much with it. Yeah, exactly. And so, really, really big song. It got Grammy wins, huge metrics. Also became best friends with Taylor Swift. Like she,
oh, wow.
Yeah. And you know when your best
now
friends
you know.
You've made it in the industry if you are best friends with Taylor Swift because she's definitely one of the biggest pop stars of her generation
for sure.
So I just want just a couple of quick honorable mentions. Staying with the Kimbra vibe, her track 2 on Vows, so it's Settle Down, and then Cameo Lover, great song.
That is a
love
great
that
song.
One. I always liked it because I was like, oh, this is more dancey. Like I can like pre-drink to this before I go to the club, sort of thing.
Totally. Yeah.
Loved
have
that.
Have you seen the video clip to that?
I sure have. So she has great videos.
Yeah, she really does.
Like I admire whoever she works with. They turn $10 and make it look $10 million.
Oh, yeah.
It's this really really great talent that she works with. Mm. Also, there's a really really I've known these guys for a while, and they were really really famous when they were young in New Zealand. And the band is called Specifics, and they have this great song called Sunshine Day, and it's one of those ones where like they've just had this cult following that's kept them going like for years and years and years and years and years. I first heard of them through my friend Grace, who was like, have you heard of Specifics? We're gonna go see them on the weekend, because back then, you know, people actually enjoyed going to see live music. All that kind of stuff. And that's how I was introduced. They were like this semi-ska reggae but like Maori like songs sort of thing. They actually end up playing the Viper Room in LA, which is a huge like
that's
Johnny Depp's venue.
That's his venue.
And you know, it's one of those things where like I still love them, and I don't know if they're playing much around now, but amongst the like New Zealand and South Pacific Island communities, they are the Jackson 5. Like they are huge to the to the island communities, because it's that thing of like, oh, like, you know, you got off the island and people, you know, and you made it sort of thing. Like that's a good thing, you know, you got to go to the mainland, so to speak, and make something of yourself, which is really really cool. And we'll have one more Brooke Fraser song I want to shout out.
Yeah.
And that song is called Love, Where Is Your Fire? Listen to it. It's really, really... Oh, no, that's not the song. Oh, no, that's the song I want to shout out. Oh, whoopsies. Oh, no. No, no, no. It's on the Albertine album. It's the last track. Sorry about this. And it's called The Thief.
The Thief.
And it's about someone that's stolen her heart.
Yes, okay.
Yes. All right, that's the one. Sorry about that. Anyway, that's enough of me. I try to get through my choices really quickly these days.
That's yeah. It only took you an hour. No.
Yes.
That was amazing, Josh. Thank you so much for those choices. That was great.
Appreciate it. Go New Zealand.
Yep. All right, we're going to take a short break and then we're going to be back to find out what Gracie Mac loves from New Zealand.
Aotearoa, welcome back. To Yalai.
Aloha.
Moana up in this bitch. Yeah. I love that Moana, it was the whole thing was like, we haven't told you what island they're from.
Yeah, that's
it's
right.
Just an
Hawaiian.
Island.
Yeah. It is Hawaiian, thank
with,
you.
Like, and it may be Tahitian, it may be Hawaiian, it may be the Caribbean.
I thought they were going for like a Pacific Island thing. For
I thought so too, but then they had American accents.
Like I thought, you know, more as like South Pacific, I suppose.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
Isn't Hawaii in the South Pacific though? Is technically it is.
Well, it's in the Pacific Ocean.
It is, but it is, it's far
But it's
enough.
Not the South Pacific.
Is it? When I think of South Pacific,
far
thinking
from Samoa.
Oh, no, when you do... No,
yeah.
Oh, but it's not classed as a South Pacific island.
Probably not because it's American.
It's not what I think of as the group of all.
Yeah. It's not Samoa, Fiji, Tonga.
But it's got the same ties. So it...
Well, there's a lot... Like, I think some of those beautiful stories are the legends of those... But that's just why I probably love Moana, because it is based loosely on a legend, on an island legend.
Yes.
Which is cool. But anyway.
Yeah, who cares? We're not talking about the South Pacific.
But we're talking about New Zealand.
Well,
we are. We're talking New Zealand. We're talking about New Zealand. We're talking about New Zealand. Aotearoa. And we've heard from Asabi and we've heard from myself. I'm actually really keen for this playlist, by the way.
Me too. I love New Zealand music.
Me too.
It's so exciting to listen to.
And we're going to throw it over to Gracie Mac because she's got some great choices to add to this playlist.
Well, I'm going to kick it off with the other big group from the Brothers Finn. Split Ends.
Hey, Split Ends.
Yeah.
Shout out to Liam Madden again because he loves Split Ends.
Yeah, he loved the Finn Brothers. Hey, like,
obsessed.
They,
yeah, and the Wiggles. That were his. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah, he was a huge Wiggles
two
fan.
Two muses, right there.
Well, as Asabi mentioned, Crowded House earlier was started by Neil Finn and his brother Tim Finn, as a precursor to Crowded House, started a group called Split Ends, which was their first album's pretty weird. Like the very alt rock. Psych. I don't know. I'm not good with genres, to be honest.
It's an experience to say the least.
But it's very experimental and it sounds like they're having fun, basically. I feel like they're just being really excited by different ideas with music and they're just pumped and all that. It sounds like the sort of album you'd make with your first uni band. That's what it sounds like to me.
Okay.
That's such a great description because I know that feeling so well.
Totally. Because you're like, yeah, we'll do this, we'll do this.
Yes.
We'll do this.
Yeah. And we're not going to have a chorus or a bridge because we're anti-pop.
That's what they sound like to me. Which is absolutely has a place.
Yes.
But then they sort of slowly got a little bit more pop, a little bit more mainstream, and then Neil started Crowded House and that was way more mainstream and accessible for the mainstream media. But Split Ends, I've chosen Message to My Girl.
Hey. I'll give you a little clap.
Which, I love this song. Yeah. It's a 1983 song from their eighth and second last album. So they did, I think, 9 studio albums. I think there was a
before 83
one as well. Yeah, crazy.
Holy
right?
moly!
Yeah. The album's called Conflicting Emotions. The song was written by Neil Finn because they, even though the band was started by Tim and Neil wasn't originally in it, and vice versa for Crowded House, they both played in each other's bands at certain points.
Right,
there's lots of members came and went and it was like there's lots of collaborative stuff happening. So anyway, song was written by Neil and he's the vocalist on it. And the band released it in 84 as a single the year after they released it with the album. It peaked at number 12 in Australia and only number 28 in New Zealand.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah, Australia liked it a little bit better. And this song brings me a lot of joy. I really, really like it. It reminds me of driving to the shops on a Saturday morning with my dad, who would always be listening to 101.7, which in Sydney was the classic FM channel, playing like golden oldies and all that sort of shit. So I was super familiar with all this kind of music. I guess like 80s and 90s or 70s to 90s like rock dad band stuff.
Yes, yes.
Super familiar with this from my childhood. And it has this, it has really cool harmony to it, like the way that the chords shift and the way that it's arranged. It's it has this like really lovely piano riff, do 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 do, really melodic, and then just kind of chunky chords, and it's just really sweet and really 80s. And I love it.
Nice.
So I'm going to go chronologically for this. So that was 83, released as a single in 84. Then my next one is 86. It's called Slice of Heaven by Dave Dobbin.
Oh.
You guys familiar?
Yes.
No.
Dave Dobbin, New Zealand guy. He also has a band called The Herbs singing BVs on this particular song. He was a pretty, I think he was relatively well known in New Zealand before this because he was part of two bands. What were they called? I've written them down. DD Smash. Some pop group called DD Smash and The Dudes, but the is spelled TH apostrophe because they're edgy.
Oh, right. Got it.
Yeah.
The Dudes.
So he had, so those two bands, and they were sort of had a few little successes in New Zealand. And then this was, he was asked to write the soundtrack for a movie called Foot Rot Flats, which is, I'm sure Sabi, you have no idea what that is. But if you grew up in Australia, then you potentially would, if you grew up in Australia not around the 90s, or 80s potentially as well. Yeah. So in 1986, this film came out, Foot Rot Flats, A Dog's Tale. And it was, it's a cartoon.
Oh, cool.
And I had it on VHS. I watched it a lot as a kid. And this song was one of the theme songs from it. It's made it really big from this song. From this movie. And so, yeah, so Dave Dobbin wrote this sound. I think he wrote most of the soundtrack for it, yeah. And then released this song on his own album 2 years later in 1988 on his album Loyal. The movie, yeah, it's a cartoon, and it's, I actually thought it was Australian when I was a kid because I was in Australia watching it, and it's like follows the life of the sheep farmer and his border collie. And and he's like, he just talks really country, like a bogan. And to me, I thought that was Australian.
Oh, right. Did he, does he sound Australian or does he sound?
Well, I probably to you, I imagine you would. Because it's not like a really clipped New Zealand accent. You
right.
know what I mean?
Okay.
Like
yeah,
it's
yeah,
that
yeah.
kind of
yeah.
kind of softer.
Neutral.
Yeah. The way that Australian can be as well. So, yeah. So yeah, as a kid, I always thought it was Australian. So I was actually surprised to discover, well, only in the last few years, it was New Zealand. But yeah, so, and it was based on this comic strip, I think from a newspaper that this cartoonist Murray Ball had made about this New Zealand sheep farmer and the border collie. And then someone decided to make it into a movie.
As you do.
As you do. And it was New Zealand's first feature length animated film.
Oh, really?
The very first one.
Wow.
In 86, yeah.
They've come a long way because, I mean, what, with all the Lord of the Rings movies and the animation on that, jeez.
But they were, you know, I mean, like, did you ever see that movie, what's the with the boy and the pelican, Storm Boy?
I never saw
that. That was their first
it.
Like feature length film, I'm pretty sure. And so like they were pretty, like the film industry wasn't pumping for a long time. It was pretty few.
It's doing
all
right
between.
Now though.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had Xena.
Yeah, Xena was good.
It was amazing. Yeah. I love Xena.
So Dave Dobbin. He chose to settle in Australia after this song because it was so successful and he was just really popular in Australia. Some meat industry in Australia reworked the song. So the chorus goes, her love shines over my horizon. She's a slice of heaven. In the background, slice of heaven. And the meat ad changed it to, yeah, you guessed it, Slice of Devon.
Oh, God.
And it became really successful.
I must have gotten a check for that.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah.
That would kill me if someone did that
I would
to
have
myself.
Charged
Devon as well, like the worst
millions
meat.
Of
Devon
dollars.
Devon reminds me of like primary school. Like
oh,
having
yeah.
like a Devon.
I would put like, yeah, tomato sauce.
Sauce, bread and Devon.
White bread and Devon.
That is the Aussie classic right there.
Oh, my, and my mum would just die inside because she could imagine what's happening to my inside.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's this song I have always, and I probably, yeah, I still want this song to be played at my funeral. I fucking love it.
Aww.
I think it's awesome.
Noted.
Yep.
Everyone take note just in case.
What you doing next week?
Yeah.
Just in case.
Dying?
I think we're planning a funeral, Josh.
Yeah. Sounds like fun to me.
Yay.
Just two in one. Do the playlist at the same time. You're fine.
I'm nothing but a multitasker.
Because it's great. It's a really joyous song. It starts with this big kind of raucous band. The Herbs going da 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 ba, do, da.
Oh, it's that song. Da, do, do, da, oh my God, I know that. Yes.
Yeah, lots of people have heard that song. Yeah.
It was also on an ad here in Australia, I think, for like.
It's been, yes.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was for like furniture removal or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, something
da,
weird.
Da 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 bum bum bum. Okay, sorry, I'm not going to keep. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, so there you go. I love that song. And playing my funeral thinking.
Yes.
Okay, moving along. We're going to jump straight up from 1986 to Can I Find My Place in the Thing to 2004.
Oh, wow. That's a huge
And I
jump.
Also have chosen a Brooke Frazier song.
Whoa, yes. I'm going to give you a clap for that.
Thank you.
Yes.
Because I was trying to think back to... I did go to Google. I went to Google...
Yes,
New Zealand artist.
Yes, same.
You know, I went to do it and then I was like, no, I don't need to do this shit. Like, I've heard so many New Zealand artists and I just thought back to who did I used to love, like, even though I'm not listening to them now, which was Brooke Frazier. Yes. When I was six and listening back to her first album, the precursor to what Josh mentioned.
Yes.
What
to Do with Daylight.
What to Do with Daylight. I know every fucking riff to that song, like to that whole album. Like, this particular song I chose was Arithmetic. It's so beautiful.
Much.
And I remember it just took me back this
week
listening to it
too,
today.
So,
yeah, it's such a lovely piano part. And the string quartet, and it's just so sweet, and her dulcet tones over the top.
If I subtract,
I'll try to take it back.
Forgotten the reason that comes for the fact that you are the sun. Okay, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
It's so pretty.
She's very young when she wrote this album too.
She's very young, and you know, I think she's still figuring out her sound or whatever. But I just remember as a 16-year-old listening to it and just thinking it was so beautiful. And so I've added it in. The song hit number 38 on the New Zealand charts. So, you know, not huge, but it was her very first single from her debut album.
But her album did really well just in general in New Zealand.
I think it did.
I think it got like 2x gold or something like that.
Cool. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Sorry.
The video clip, it's just kind of like... not much of a
very
concept,
simple.
But we're not talking Kimbra here, okay? We're talking she's just at her piano.
Sony gave her $7.
Dimly lit. Dimly lit. Fairy lights on the piano.
Which I love.
Fairy lights around her. Yeah, very pretty. She got a string quartet with her, fairy lights on the music stands. And the amount of fairy lights
meant
that
it...
Oh,
we're at Can
You
Keep a Secret?
Shout out, Brisbane
Video. Yes, I was like, yeah.
But the amount of fairy lights that they used won her an award for most used fairy lights in a film
gosh.
Clip. Studio 2 Awards.
She's a record breaker.
Yes.
What can't she do?
Yes. Oh, that's a stunning song. I have a playlist that I have called Bedtime Zen, where like if I need to like tell my brain to shut up, that song is on the.
Yeah.
Nice.
The it was. I gotta say, it was very enjoyable listening to it again today.
Aww.
And for my fifth and final choice,
excellent.
It is a Kimbra song. I had to add her in. You know, I had to add her in.
Yes.
I've chosen Miracle, which is from her second album, The Golden Echo, released in 2014. So the album after Vows that the other two spoke about.
Mm-hmm.
It's the second single from the album. The first one was 90s music, if anyone's familiar with her at all. It's a real like modern pop disco track. It's awesome.
Oh,
it's
lovely.
Super fun. Really, really fun. Super joyous. Driving groove. The video clip is her. She's in this really awesome little red number, like this little kind of sparkly red teeny little outfit, and she's like strutting down the streets of Williamsburg, Brooklyn is where it's filmed. She's just going down the street and there's like a bit of choreography and stuff. It's super cute and like joyous street party thing.
Yeah.
But she does this in so many video clips and in her live shows. She'll have in this case it was an Australian designer, but she'll pick like a designer and they'll design several different looks for the show, for the video clip. She does this in a lot of stuff. It's really cool. Like she's very, as we said before, and as I've said many times, she's very focused on visual art as well as not just the oral. So she's in this cute little red number, and then it just slowly morphs into different red outfits of like varying degrees in the same kind of, I guess they kind of the same look and the same style. But just in different things. And so these particular outfits are by Australian designer Jame Lee Major, if anyone's into them. But I saw her live once and she sometimes like she hits sometimes she hits it, like this looks really great in this video clip, but then sometimes she misses the mark, I feel like, with, because she'll just pick some, like, it looks like a random art project that someone's pasted onto her.
Yes, oh, it's, she, I think, because her natural inclination is to go pin-up, like, in a way, like, when did this come out?
This is 2014. So this is getting, she's post getting Lady much Gaga. More,
because the Gaga era is all about, oh, just stick some glitter on it.
This is like when she's getting, like the pinup thing is like long gone for her.
Yes.
And she's getting very eccentric with looks and like, and really experimenting with lots of cool stuff.
Right.
So
she's having a Bowie moment.
Yeah. And she still is really, like she's always experimenting with different things. But yeah, she would just like pick a designer and they'd put her in some like crazy shit. That's what she'd be wearing.
Nice.
Yeah, it was great. So those are my five choices.
Oh, beautiful.
I do have one honorable mention.
Tell us.
Because I didn't, I've just put this in as an honorable mention because I didn't realize she was New Zealand. It's that song Sway by Bic Runga.
Oh, really?
Sway, Sway.
I didn't know that was a New Zealand song.
Neither did I.
That song that you just said, that's what I thought Asabi was talking about back in the movie soundtracks episode.
Oh, yeah.
When it was that Lisa Loeb song, whatever it was.
Lisa
Loeb.
Yes.
I thought
Stay was the song that I was
I was thinking Sway the entire time. So I was like, I love that song. And then when I listened to the playlist, I was like, that's not what I had in my head.
Yeah,
which happens often with some of your choices, both of you. With me, I'm like, I think I know it. And then I'm like, that's not what I was thinking of.
Yeah. I love that song as well.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. And I just wanted to give her a shout out because, I didn't have any Maori people in my playlist. And she's Malaysian and of Maori descent. So,
really?
So I put her in there. Yeah.
I did
half
not
Malaysian,
know that.
Half Maori.
Oh.
Yeah.
My old so acapella group covered that.
Yeah, is she?
Yeah, Ricky
Malaysian
Lee's got,
and Maori.
Yeah, no. I think she has New Zealand. No, she's like got New Zealand descent.
Yeah. Oh, right.
I was going to put a Ricky Lee song in there, but I'm like, that's a far-fetched, like.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you dig her.
I loved her Fear and Freedom album. I actually have a bit of a fan-artist relationship with her. We'll talk about that at a later point. Yeah. Her Fear and Freedom album 2012 is gay realness. It's gay, rights in an album, to be quite honest.
Gay rights in an album. That's amazing. What can't you do?
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much for your choices, Grace.
Thank you.
I always love, I feel I get like appeased and educated all in the space of 10 minutes. It's great. Well, we're going to have we're going to have a short little break and we'll be back with our favorite section of the week. Stay tuned.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Thank you, MasterCard.
Yo.
Thank you. I wouldn't. Yeah, if you want some low interest rates, we'll do it. All right. So, the theme this week has been across the pond, New Zealand music.
Yeah,
we've had a great plethora of choices.
Oh, yeah.
Now this is awkward because it feels like it's the Australian music / our friends' music where I feel awkward giving a flop.
Oh,
because
right.
they're so close to home.
Yeah, sort
of thing. But we're up to our favorite section of the week, which is
it's the flop.
Alrighty, so with the good comes with the bad, the yin, the yang, the Sonny and Cher of choices. I'm Team Cher personally.
Okay.
Yes. And we're going to talk about a New Zealand song that we really aren't feeling. So we'll start with Asabi.
Oh,
can
God.
You please give us your choice?
Oh, I'm going to get my ass handed to me for this. So, Melting Pot by When the Cat's Away. Now, I just want to say it's not a bad song, like, because it did really well on the charts. It was number one in New Zealand, but so When the Cat's Away is a female covers band, and it's a fun upbeat sort of song. And but there was just something that was rubbing me the wrong way when I was listening to it, and it's a cover. So it's a cover from a 1969 band called Blue Mink in the UK.
Yeah, that's the
originated the song. Yeah. And so this group and the intentions were good, you know, like, so when I listened to the original and I heard the lyrics, I'm like, oh, that's why I don't like it. Because to me, it's sort of, in my view, it popularizes colorism.
And I
get what they're trying to say, and I think, oh, this is, that's, it's a nice sentiment, but it's basically saying that all of us that are here today are not good enough and we all need to just blend and be one color and that's going to solve the issue. And I'm kind of like,
that's a little like all lives matter to me personally.
Yeah,
like,
right.
It's a little like, I don't see skin color.
Yeah, exactly. Which I think is a terrible phrase.
It's a cop out.
I can't stand it.
Anyway, we're not
going to
get
that
too political.
Anyway,
yet.
So that's my flop.
That's nice.
And yeah, we flop colorism in general, actually. Yeah. Mm. The ugly sister of racism, colorism. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, exactly. Thank you, Asabi, for your unreserved honesty.
I am anything if not honest.
Yeah, exactly. And we're going to ask Gracie Mack. Now, she's an advocate for New Zealand music. You're an advocate for music in general, I have to say.
She's a musicologist.
You are a musicologist. Like, I do respect you for
music
it.
Music I don't like.
Yeah, yes.
But yeah.
I feel like, you know, I've always feel like that I'm the number one musicologist in my life, but I do rate you.
you've got shit that I don't have though. Like I think we've got different set of skills.
Which is why I think this podcast works.
I know. I learned so much from you. It's really cool. And from Asabi.
Oh, yes, me too.
Oh, I'm in one job. But back to the business.
But why aren't you digging, girl? Yeah, why aren't you digging?
Yes, let's get on with it.
Well, it's actually by one of the Finn brothers.
Understandable.
Tim Finn, like in a random solo jaunt that he took. It's a song called Fraction to My Friction.
Fraction what?
To my friction. I pressed the button.
You did too early.
Sorry.
Fraction too much friction is terrible.
I'm pretty sure that's been mentioned on a podcast on an episode before. Do you not reckon?
It was pre-me, so I didn't give a shit.
Is Tim Finn the one that wrote Ladies in Black?
I'm not sure who wrote it.
It's either Neil or Tim Finn.
I don't know because it can be so interchangeable.
Neil do more of the songwriting than Tim?
Well, I know that
it depends on the band.
They also did a music.
Like Crowded House, always Neil.
Yeah.
No, I'm pretty sure it's Tim Finn.
This is Tim Finn.
Okay, beautiful.
And it's terrible. It's like, there's a fraction, too much friction. It's terrible.
Oh, good. So was the music to his music version of Twelfth Night. Anyway, let's... All righty. Well, I have a flop as well. Now, I just want to preface. I don't know why I don't usually preface. I just feel extra bad today. But I just want to say, first of all, Stan Walker is an incredible singer. I rate his voice so hard.
Yeah, he's a great singer.
He is.
Just
it's beautiful.
You know, caramel tone, you know, got a really, really big range. I loved... Jessica Mowboy did a song called Galaxy with him, and he sounded really good in that. But I'm flopping his first ever single, Black Box.
Yeah.
I flop most Australian Idol winner singles. Angels brought me here. Okay. Yeah. Grace, she's well acquainted with that song.
Yeah. And that's actually not a bad song, to be honest.
Yeah, and also A Moment Like This by Kelly Clarkson. I dig that one as well. That was a good one.
That's all right.
Oh, yeah. But that's getting into American.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Australian. Oh,
yes. Australian Idol singles are generally pretty bad.
Definitely bad at like songwriting and all the stuff after the competition.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know that I think the best-selling single post-Australian Idol, I think, is still Anthony Kalia's version of The Prayer.
Yeah, not surprised.
Yeah, and he didn't win.
Do you know, I performed at a Carol's in the Gold Coast, and he was there, and he sung to a backing track of The Prayer. I was like, this is like 15 years later.
Yeah, I know.
He must be dying inside.
That's true. Well, Anthony Clee is a very good... Actually, Anthony Clee is a very good singer as well.
He's an excellent singer.
Yeah.
I
don't respond well to his... It's actually his stage craft that I don't respond to very well, because I feel like he sees a different production in his head to what we're watching.
Right.
Like, he's imagining Vegas, Celine Dion, like, sort of thing, which is, I guess, like, you know,
and he's getting, like,
to him.
Backyard.
Yeah. So, but he's a really, really, he's a very, very good singer. Like, I rate him very, like,
he's great. Really,
but yeah, Black Box by Stan Walker. It ain't the business, y'all. It ain't the business. All right. Well, that's another episode. all wrapped up. It was nice to be back, 24. Everyone. Yeah, 24 episodes. I wonder, when does the season finish?
I don't know.
Because, you know, most seasons are 22 episodes.
Our spreadsheet
episodes.
Finishes at 30. Yeah. So.
Does it? Okay, yeah. Maybe. Well,
all right.
Well, but I think like, well, yeah, but we can probably, and we'll talk this off the air. I don't know why we're talking logistics on the microphone. Anyway, so have a great week. It was so great to get to know everyone again and listen to and talk about the music. We'll be back next week with another episode of Shuffleology. Thanks for coming in the lab. We've got Asabi Goodman.
Hey.
Gracie Mack. Yee. I'm Josh DeVetta, and we are signing out. Have a great week.
Can a song just objectively be bad?
Yes.
But that doesn't mean we can't learn from it. I'm Alex Smith.
And I'm James Keogh.
And on our new podcast, My Songs Suck, we talk to writers and musicians who share with us some of their earlier, less good content and reflect on how far they've come.
If you want to get in on the fun, head to That's Not Canon Productions or find us on iTunes, Google Play, or whatever podcatcher you use.
My Songs Suck, because everyone makes mistakes.
Just make sure you record them.
That's Not Canon Productions podcast.